Hey, we're so pleased to welcome back Quincy City Council President, Councillor at Large, Nina Liang, to chat, of course, about the council meeting this week, but also about how she and her colleagues are coping during the pandemic. So, Nina, great to see you. It's been a little while.
I know. I'm happy to be back with you.
This is great. I appreciate it very much. So how was the quote-unquote summer of 2020 for you?
It definitely went by too fast, as most summers usually do. But like you and I were just catching up about it. It's strange times that we're all in. You know, I think that, you know, given how nice the weather is, people do want to go outside and take advantage of it, as did I, you know. And it was nice to see that in and around Quincy, people were still being really cautious about being outside and being out in the open with one another and, you know, dining outside and how that works. And so it's been nice. I've been going for a lot more bike rides, which has been really great. And just trying to milk as much of the nice weather as much as I can before it's gone.
Yeah. Last time we talked, the situation with the pandemic was very different. There was still a lot of cases every day. There are a lot of deaths every day. It seems to have leveled off, at least for now. What are you hearing out in the community?
I'm gonna knock on all of the wood around me. No, actually, you're absolutely right. It has. And the way that we're tracking it now, not just we in Quincy, but the way that we're tracking it in the state is different than how we've been tracking it up until this point. And we're now looking at the numbers in such a way to then say, okay, are we in the green, the yellow, or the red? And since we've started doing that, we've actually stayed in the green zone. Again, let me just knock on all of the wood around me, which is great news, you know. And I actually just read recently an article popped up yesterday on my phone saying that the trend is starting to look good and level out a bit and looking really positive. But that's not to say that the numbers still aren't concerning, you know, across the board for really the whole country. So, you know, I think this is one of those situations where, yes, we're trending in the right direction right now, but that doesn't mean that we should just completely throw, you know, caution to the wind, right? We are, I think, collectively in the city and in the state in a much better place because we have been taking these precautions up until this point. So let's make sure that we're still following that until we are completely, you know, in the clear.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think the city, the administration's been handling it so far?
I think they've done a great job. Really, everyone in the city has, particularly Ruth, you know, Ruth Jones. I mean, God bless her. I don't know how she's done what she has done over this last year, but her and her team have been absolutely remarkable. And, you know, if you look at everything that you've seen, you know, in the papers, particularly on social media, you know, the stories that you've heard, the community here in Quincy really has come together and worked really hard to try to get each other through this. You know, again, just how we are with one another when we're out in public, you know, being respectful of, you know, when you cross paths with somebody, you're putting your mask on. If you're in closed quarters, you're wearing your mask as well. You know, with the outdoor dining, the small businesses have been phenomenal in making sure that they're not just protecting, you know, the customers that come in, but also protecting their employees. And, you know, none of this is easy. There's no, you know, history of how this is done. Really, everyone is writing it now, right, in practice. And so I think, you know, it's been a very, very difficult year, to say the very least, you know, for families who have kids in schools, for the school committee trying to figure out what's going to happen. There's no right answer there either. Again, we're writing this handbook as we go along. It's been an incredible and really difficult time for folks, but it really has been amazing to see how much the city has come together to support one another.
Yeah, of course, the other, you know, story yet to be told is the economic impact of all this. I know that came up at this week's city council meeting, which are still being held virtually, right?
They are for the time being, yes.
Yeah.
Again, this is very much, and this was in consultation with my colleagues. I very much respect their opinion and appreciate their input to how we're doing these meetings. And it's about, again, just taking the precautions that we can. You know, if we have the capacity, and we are lucky enough to have the ability to meet virtually, as well as provide that space for the public to participate safely, you know, then we should, as long as we can, you know. And again, you know, upon talking with my colleagues and getting their input and opinion on this, when we are ready to move forward in person, we certainly will, and we'll let folks know. But again, for the time being, if we can and folks are able to, then we're going to continue to meet virtually.
Okay, it's very hard to have, nine counselors 6 feet apart, plus all the administrative staff and department heads that go with that, right in the council chambers. It's just physically not possible right now.
Yeah, and, it's not to say that it's something we couldn't do, but then we have to also be mindful about how we're going to provide access to the public to come as well, right? Because the public is welcome to come to every single one of those meetings. And so how do we account for that? And we certainly don't want to ever turn somebody away. And so again, if doing it virtually provides that space for people to participate all together, and it allows members of the public to come and participate safely as well, then yeah, that's the way we're going to do it for now.
Sure. There was a full council meeting, but before that, there was a finance committee meeting this week, which is a meeting of the whole, right? All councilors, part of the finance committee. So what happened there?
So the finance committee meeting that took place before was to address the property over at Old Colony. This is something that was brought in front of the council before, all of this had happened. And as to a lot of items, whenever they get introduced to us, when we move them into committee, we then meet in committee to be able to have a conversation to discuss that item. And so that's what happened here. And to your point about it being a committee of the whole, the finance committee is one of the three committees that has all of the counselors as members. Some of the smaller committees are only five members. And so this is one where, like you said, all members are a part of it. So the whole council did meet in committee to discuss this item. And it was to discuss a $14 million appropriation request as part of moving forward with this project.
Right. And I know it was put on the table. What are your feelings about this request from the administration?
I mean, personally, I think that the project itself is a good one for the city. If we take a look and this information is available to the public as well, and I really do encourage folks, if and when they have time to take a look at this, the drawings and the numbers, it's all available, and it's all really interesting to see what this proposal is. It's, I think, going to be an asset to the city. It's going to provide services for students that we are currently servicing now and paying for outside of the city, and this is a service that we can essentially bring back to the city of Quincy, which will help us to cut the cost, per student over time. And so in the long run, I think that this is an added asset to the city. In the short term, we do have to be very front of mind about what the impact is financially to the city in the next 2 to 3 years, right? Because you're not talking about just, putting out, and again, this is just my personal opinion, but you're not just putting out an appropriation to say, okay, if we appropriate these funds, we'll be able to see the return on that immediately when we're able to bring those students back into the city, right? We're going to be able to realize those savings right away. You have to think, technically speaking, you have to go through the process of completing that design and getting the contractors, getting the project manager, actually putting a shovel in the ground, doing the build out, outfitting the space, going through the hiring process and bringing the students back here. And so from the time that we start that construction process to the time of full occupancy, when we, again, can start bringing those students, the Quincy students, back to Quincy, when the savings are realized, I want to have an understanding of what that timeline looks like. And so those are some of the questions that I had asked yesterday. Some of my other colleagues were also concerned about the finances and the financial impacts in the immediate term, and then the financial savings in the long term, right? Because that's what we have to weigh when we're considering this. And so overall, from what I've heard from some of my colleagues last night, there's not one of us that thinks that servicing Quincy students is a bad thing. Of course, we're supportive of that. Of course, to be able to tell Quincy families, hey, if you can send your kids here locally rather than sending them out of the city, some of these kids are even staying overnights in some of their cities. That's an incredible thing to be able to offer families here. But we are essentially responsible for managing the finances in the city. And so that is going to be our top priority with this.
Sure. So what is the next step then for the process?
So Council McCarthy, who is the chairman of the Finance Committee, scheduled a follow-up meeting at our next before our next council meeting on Monday, September 21st. Between now and then, we're just going to take a look at the projects that are going to be coming down the pike across the whole city, because anything we do, any project we do, has a ripple effect to everything else that happens across the city. And again, we want to make sure that with the decision we're making with this, we're taking into consideration other things that are coming up across the city as well.
Sure. Okay. So the 21st.
Monday, September 21st. Yep.
Okay. So are you back on a regular schedule now for council meetings for the fall?
We are. And so the only thing that's different is going to be the time change. In the past, when we met in person, it was a 7:30 start time. Sometimes if the committees met prior to council meetings, they would meet an hour or so earlier. In this instance, because we are meeting virtually and not having to, you know, travel to and from different locations to get to the council chambers, we are able to push back the start time. So the start time, you know, again, for now, unless it otherwise changes, is a 5:30 start time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. There was a full council meeting, of course, after Finance Committee. What were the key items in that agenda, what do you say?
It was a light agenda, I'd have to say. The key item and the key takeaway, which I thought was phenomenal, was a presentation from John Jasminski from Father Bills, and he also had his colleague Pat Ronan there as well. And it was the request that had come in front of us to essentially provide a 99-year lease for 39 Broad across the street from their current location. And this is part of that larger project for the facility that we want to build over there, the public safety headquarters. And, you know, that's part of this process, is making sure that they're able to get relocated into a space and to continue serving really the population that we need to make sure gets served here in the city.
Right. Was there action taken on that item?
There was. It was passed last night.
Okay. I know that Father Bills is hoping to launch a pretty major capital campaign to raise funds to really develop that facility out to more long-term housing as opposed to emergency shelter type situation.
That's correct. And, you know, this is something that I think a lot of folks know, which is, you know, they are very much in demand, you know, for their services right now. And it's not just to provide a shelter, it's to provide a whole wealth of services. Like you had said, right, expanding on those services is so important. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to sit down with John and to go through the facility. I've had the opportunity to work with my family to try and support them as a nonprofit over the years and the work that they've done. And so, you know, I've been lucky enough to be able to see firsthand, you know, really what they offer and how much they really need to expand on those services, because the need is still there. And the need, unfortunately, is growing right now. And so they've worked really hard. I mean, they're not stopping to say, you know, this is it, we're moving across the street and that's it for us. You know, they have been working really diligently as a whole team to try to look at other ways to raise funds to continue their work and really expand on, okay, we're not just going to be a shelter, we're also going to help folks really get back on their feet, you know, and be able to sustain themselves, not just with a job, but with a home and having their own space. And it's a wealth of services. And I think it's phenomenal that they're continuing to push so hard for it. So, you know, to that end, this vote that was taken last night is a step in that direction. You know, they can't go for these grants and these capital funds unless they have that, you know, that lease to say, okay, you know, if we get the capital funds, we have a place to spend it on, you know, we have a building to actually improve upon. And so that was the step in that process.
Okay. Was there an actual cost associated with the lease at all?
It's a dollar a year lease.
A dollar a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. Folks might not be aware that the building they're in right now is also a city building that they're leasing. It was the old Registry of Motor Vehicles years and years ago, before your time, Nina.
Right across the street. Yeah, no. Well, so again, this is just a step in the process, right? It's not the final step for them and or their relocation or for their move. You know, this is simply a vote that was taken so that they could have a document to say, you know, when they're going out again to get those funds and to, you know, apply for those grants and to get the capital funding, to say, you know, if we receive funding, this is the building we can spend it on. And it's not going to go away, right? We have the lease, we have the 99-year lease. If we have, you know, the funds to build it out, we have this paperwork saying that we're going to be able to build out this building.
Yep, so. Absolutely.
We'll see what happens. We're going to continue to stay in touch. They've been great with staying in touch, not just with the administration, but the counselors as well. And so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how it goes. And I know, again, they're working day and night to make sure that they can, you know, sustain themselves and get what they need for this.
Right. What is the update on the public safety complex project? Or where does that stand right now?
We haven't moved forward with any updates on that just yet. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with this legislative session, Nina, as council president, how do you kind of like to steer the ship? What do you kind of hope to focus on priority wise?
I think there's a number of things that I personally would like to see, but overwhelmingly, you know, from what I've heard from my colleagues back in the spring, over the summer, and particularly back into this council session as well, is really just making sure that we are fully understanding of what the ramifications of COVID-19 are going to do, you know, to the city. We have been, I don't want to say lucky. I'm going to take that back. I think that folks across the city have worked incredibly hard to make sure that we didn't have to lay off teachers and first responders this year. I mean, you take a look at, and this is by no means, you know, my saying anything about other cities and towns, but we have, you know, been able to come out of the other side of the budget, you know, not having to fire anybody and let people go and closing departments or scaling back on city services, which is remarkable. But that being said, I don't even think back in June when we were discussing the budget could have predicted that we would still be here in September. And so just fully understanding and making sure that we're staying on top of what the financial ramifications are going to be even next year, not just for city services, but for the residents, for business owners, you know, everything that we do right now and everything we do as individuals is really being dictated by this pandemic. And so that has to be front of mind for us, right? Everything that we do, we need to make sure that we're taking into consideration as much information as we can around this pandemic and what the lasting impact of that is going to look like for all of us.
I know that you know, you really pride yourself on being in touch with the constituents. Very difficult to do right now, in person at least, but any kind of virtual, you know, community meetings or things like that you might be able to talk about?
Yeah, so we had some over the summer with a couple of my colleagues, which is great. And like I was saying to you earlier, I think that being able to have them come, you know, back to your show all together collectively so that they can have an opportunity to talk about what they brought to the meeting as well would be phenomenal. But, you know, this is in response to, I think, not just the injustices we've been seeing this year towards the Black and Brown community, but, you know, really calling to light something that has been going on for, you know, more than our lifetime, certainly, you know, and that is something that I don't think can be fixed overnight, but it is something that is very front of mind for a lot of residents across this city. I think regardless of your personal feelings on it, you know, I've heard from folks who feel very strongly one way or the other when it comes to the conversation around injustices facing the Black and Brown community. And I think it's important for us to make sure that we are being respectful of everyone's voice, but also, you know, being productive and actually moving this forward, you know. And I think that's something that my colleagues and I want to make sure that we're staying on top of as well, is that, yes, we want to have community meetings. We can't sit here and dictate that the nine of us know, you know, the best answer for this. This is certainly not when it comes to this. You know, we need to make sure that we're providing as many opportunities as possible to hear from residents across the city and to hear from them about their own personal experience, you know, and what kind of change we really want to see here in the city. Real change, you know, lasting change. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm blanking on this name, but, or this term, but, you know, just change that you can actually see with your day-to-day life here in the city. And so I think it's going to be certainly a process that doesn't happen overnight, but it is also still a priority for us and has been a priority for us over the summer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're probably thinking tangible or fundamental or something.
Thank like you. That. Yes. We're coming off Labor Day weekend, Joe. Okay, so you
know. I totally understand.
No, but yes, tangible change. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you participate in the virtual August Moon Festival, Lita? I was just curious.
I was able to send in a video. I unfortunately was not able to make it. You know, even though the council doesn't meet over the summer, all of us still are working, you know, and doing right. Things over the summer as well. So unfortunately, with things being virtual, believe it or not, it's gotten busier. And so there's other events and other meetings that were happening. But yeah, I was bummed that I missed it. I heard it went well, though.
So yeah, it went really well. We saw Philip Chong from Quincy Asian Resources in his kitchen baking up black and white.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, baking seems to be a trend that folks are taking up. A good friend of mine has been baking up a storm. And, you know, luckily for me, she only lives about three streets away. And so being able to knock on her door and demand those macaroons has been a lot of fun for me.
Folks would like to reach out to you. What are some good ways for them to do that?
Yeah, they can do so by Facebook or Twitter. They just go and type in Nina Liang. Obviously, they can always, you know, reach out to me by email as well. It's nina@ninaliang.org or nliang@quincyma.gov. And of course, they can, you know, always give me a buzz as well. My phone is right up on the website. They can call or text, whichever one is more comfortable for them.
Okay. Great to see you, Nina. Thanks so much.
So good to see you too. It's strange that, you know, we haven't seen each other all summer, but it feels like no time has passed at all. So
it's like Groundhog Day every day.
I know.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for your time, Joe. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll catch up again after the next meeting.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you soon.